Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Are you returning to work this week after the Christmas holidays and already feeling that creeping Sunday night fear, worried that your work email will be on the brink of collapse after 10 days or more of leave, and that your work to-do list will rival Santa's on Christmas Eve? So how can we lessen that fear and anxiety of returning to work after being on a relaxing holiday? And how important are good digital habits in keeping us focused and organised? I'm joined now by Dr. Sabina Brennan, psychologist, neuroscientist and author of Beating Brain Fog. Happy New Year to you, Sabina. How are you?
And to you.
So your main or your top tips here, please, for avoiding that feeling of being overwhelmed as we get our feet back under the desk.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, I think organisation is key. I think, you know, when you get back to work, you just mentioned, you know, your inbox full of emails. I think resist the temptation to get into answering all of them straight away. I think the first thing to do really is to create a to-do list
before you even turn the computer on.
Possibly. It depends how organized you were before you finished for Christmas.
Because there are some of these online work specialist people at the moment in social media who are suggesting that you devote the first day of being back to work to deal with the inbox and just say, I'm not going to get anything else done. I'm going to deal exclusively with that.
Well, do you know what? I wouldn't necessarily agree with that because it depends. You're not going to be starting back this week with a clear slate. There's going to be work that you were working on before you finished for holidays. And the importance of that, you know, the need to do that work still remains. So my feeling would be that you have your to-do list, you can look at your emails, you can add items from those emails to that to-do list, and then you prioritize the items on your to-do list by importance and urgency. Because the thing is, it's not about just getting things done. The key really is to get the right things done on time. Frequently, there's items on our to-do list and that actually you need to question at some point, do they even need to be there? If you operate a to-do list based on importance and urgency, you'll find over time as you work through those items at the top that there's some items will continually remain at the bottom. And over a period of time, you realize, actually, those things just do not need to be done. They're neither urgent nor important. So that would be my key. If you wish...
Okay,
you could...
So hang on a second. This is kind of the opposite then of the... Was it the Bill Gates piece of advice, the eat the frog?
Oh, God, don't compare me now to Bill Gates.
No, I'm not. But I remember he had what seemed to me to be a fairly salient or good piece of advice, to eat the frog. If there is one unpleasant thing that you have to do in a day, like eating a frog, something big and unpalatable, well, make sure it is the first thing that you do.
Absolutely.
And that you assign
so
the highest priority
me.
To it.
Yeah, no, that's not contradicting me. That's exactly what I would say, is do the most important thing first. So basically the most, if you prioritize your to-do list by urgency and importance, you put the most urgent and most important thing at the top of the list. That's what needs to be done. You know, by definition, it's the most important.
Okay,
so
but what
first.
About if it's a really, really tough one and there are more enjoyable things on your to-do
you see,
list?
That's the temptation and that's the procrastination. I would be a procrastinator and a perfectionist, and actually a lot of perfectionists are procrastinators. It's not that we don't do anything. We'll keep working away, but we'll procrastinate on that really important thing because we want to do it perfectly.
Yeah, I know, but you can also reward yourself, can't you, with doing one of the nice tasks.
Of course.
Forgetting half of the frog eaten.
Yes, of course. And that's the human condition. And you know, that's why to-do lists are in and of, you know, completing items on to-do lists in and of itself is rewarding. You know, it activates the reward centres in your brain. You get a dopamine hit and you are motivated to do something again.
So does that mean that actually having a written list that you can draw a line through individual items will give you that reward centre, that chemical release?
Absolutely. It gives you that buzz. But that's, you know, and that's important. But if you want to be efficient, successful and effective, you know, in your job, you can't just be doing all the nice little things and not addressing the important things. So, I mean, on a day-to-day basis, I would say do one item on from your to-do list before you even look at your emails, assuming it's not an item that's going to take you 3 weeks to do. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just get one kind of doable item off your to-do list before you look at your emails. I mean, if you feel that you have a whole load of emails going to be facing you when you go to work today or tomorrow, there's nothing wrong with looking at those emails, adding them to a list. If you wish, you could put a standard response on them that says, I'm acknowledging your email and I will respond in due course, just back from work or whatever, to acknowledge that you've received it. But I'm not so sure that I would say, you know, start your day by answering those emails. You need to put them in context of the other work that you're doing. But I think that's just one way to kind of address the scaries. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, those Sunday scaries can be a big thing for people. And I think they can kind of even be bigger after a break of the holidays that we've had. And one of the best ways to address those scaries is to prioritize sleep, because they often kind of hit you the night before.
Yeah, and it is anticipation that is always worse than the actual action
anxiety is all about anticipating events that that may never happen, you know, and not as bad as they are. But the thing is, with, you know, we've just been off for whatever it is, 10 days, we've been staying up late, sleeping in late, eating lots of rich food, probably drinking alcohol, all things that kind of interfere with your sleep routine, and suddenly then you're facing back to reality, and it can kind of be scary.
So all the more reason to maintain good work practices, I assume, and even if you are still inundated, to say, no, work finishes at 6 o'clock this evening and I'm not going to keep on answering those emails afterwards.
Absolutely, and I think that's become harder and harder, especially with kind of working from home and hybrid working, you know, those boundaries have become harder to keep. So I think probably as a New Year resolution, you know, rather than, you know, unrealistic resolutions that we all stop doing, you know, in February, a good New Year's resolution could be to start the year by actually identifying what those boundaries are, possibly with your manager or your superior, whatever. You know, look, my working hours are 9 to 5:30. You know, this is what happens when I, you know, this is how much time I have for lunch. Communicate those boundaries to the rest of your team or to your mm-hmm. customers or anyone you deal with, and then stick to them. If mm-hmm. you don't respect your own boundaries, you can't expect anyone else to respect them. And then make a point of using your time off for time off, and really set those boundaries. And those boundaries shouldn't just be limited to actually doing work. They should be limited to actually thinking about work.
You should be doing something else with your brain and your time. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that should help with those Sunday night scaries. You know, if you start thinking about work on Sunday, go, I'll be in work on Monday. That's when I'll think about work. And a good thing to do is, you know, actually make Sunday a more active day, a day where you engage all your senses and you do things and actually take exercise, because that will induce sleep rather than that tossing
get
and turning
out
after a lazy
into
day.
Nature, get out into the outdoors. It is absolutely restorative. Dr. Sabina Brennan, thank you very much. And stay hydrated throughout, folks, which is why after this break we're going to be asking the question, how much water is the right amount of water to drink every day?